Hi folks, welcome to the A Minute to Midnight show. My name's Tony, coming to you from New Zealand. On the show today, I have John Heller, who is a pretty frequent guest on the A Minute to Midnight show, and the discussions are always pretty interesting. So welcome back, John.
Good to be back with you, Tony.
Yes, definitely crazy days we're living in, John.
Yeah, for for someone who's sort of in a transition to retirement mode, I'm still doing a little bit of work. I'm very busy, although I go to the driving range and hit a couple big buckets of balls every day. But I have a lot going on. I busy at church. I'm speaking both hours on Sunday. I'm doing a conference in Canada next week. Last day's Bible conference, LDBC.ca. You can register there. So those will be broadcast. Me, Eric Barger, Mike Gendron, and I can never remember the other person who's speaking with us, talking on various topics. Acts 20:27. I shall not to declare unto you the whole counsel of God is sort of the theme verse for the conference. So I've been recording those. I've been having terrible computer problems. My USB-C ports seem to want to fail. My computer's barely charging. It charges sometimes very quickly. It's crazy. But then there's so many other things going on. I feel like it's just everything's just coming at you 24/7 now. And I think that's sort of indicative of the living in what I think is the end times, that these things are going to be happening very quickly. As part of one of my talks in Canada, I kind of came up with an acronym, the prophetic ACLU, and that would be acceleration, convergence, logistics, and understanding, because all of these things that we see that are going to happen in the end times. We talk about the mark of the beast. We talk about the nations coming together in certain configurations for wars and that sort of thing. Those things aren't going to just happen overnight. There's going to be a buildup to them, sort of like the final apostasy of the church. It's not just going to appear out of nowhere overnight and, we have no apostasy and all of a sudden we have the worst apostasy ever. It's going to be part of a process. So I think that's in what's going to happen, though, is things are going to accelerate much more quickly. So you've kind of seen it over the last year with this COVID thing and the vaccinations and the vaccination passports and the lockdowns and the mask. And I mean, these, if we had sat down and did a show, I think we probably did a show in January 2020, would we have predicted any of this stuff? Or would we have, remember the famous prediction, 2 weeks to flatten the curve on COVID? I mean, how did that turn out? Mm. So I know Bible prophecy is sure. I'm not so sure about these people who run things or think they run things. So it's all happening very quickly. And it just seems like it's just boom, 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 constant bombardment.
So many things are happening. You're right. In all directions. One thing I'm planning on doing a video pretty soon about just the big companies, the stakeholders behind all the big companies are all the same people basically. And so you don't have any real competition because the same rich oligarchs and so on have stakes in everything. Like, there's no Pepsi versus Coca-Cola kind of thing because really they're all controlled by the same shareholders and so on. And then you have the vaccine companies, Big Pharma, making an absolute killing off the vaccine. Sorry to use the term big killing, but really, the big pharmaceutical companies must be very happy for all the free advertising that people posting heroic vaccination photos are providing them, and the big stakeholders behind them are obviously making a killing off the profits. When there's no long-term studies of the effects of these alleged vaccines, how heroic are these people going to look down the road if people start getting seriously ill or dying, a few months or years down the track? So boy, I'm just seeing a big divide between people pressuring either way. Personally, I'm not going to go anywhere near any of these vaccines. I'm absolutely adamant on that. But, you know, you can see the pressure's going to come on just as people have basically rolled over for the masks and lockdowns and all that over the world. You know, they've told you, the governments and so on, told you you got to do this, and everyone's just basically done it. And regardless of whether there's any science behind it, and there's a huge agenda by the governments and these big pharmaceutical companies and so on to push these vaccines and silence anybody that's questioning it, basically. Even people that are posting adverse effects reactions, they're trying to shut them down and so on. I can only see this getting worse in the months ahead, and it's not a pretty picture looking ahead at just that one aspect of things.
Yeah, it's hard to predict how it's going to go. I agree with you on many of these, on almost all these points. You know, if you're taking a reasonable approach to the vaccine thing and trying to analyze it, there's a lot of pressure that gets put on people to take this thing. Yeah. I mean, and it doesn't come from, it's not coming from government or a healthcare company or your doctor or anything. It's your friends that have been vaccinated. And I think the whole thing, I guess the thing that I'm concerned about is it's just another one of these issues that's become incredibly divisive in the body of Christ. I mean, at our church, we're not taking a position on the vaccine. We have some people with some pretty serious health issues that have I think they have a much different calculus to make than others that are healthier. But we've said we're not going to require you to have a vaccine to come to this church. We're just not going to do that. You know, we have to trust the Lord a little bit at times. And, you know, I think of this Grace Life Church up in Canada, whether you agree with the position that they've taken or not, they certainly do have pretty much an absolute right under the Canadian Charter of Rights to hold these meetings. It's just like in the United States, as one of the justices of the Supreme Court or one of the judges on a court of appeal said, you know, there are really no health exceptions to the First Amendment and the free exercise of religion. So these become very difficult questions. And I can tell you, my personal opinion is I'm supportive of the people at Grace Life Church. If they want to worship, let them worship. I don't see the science I've asked the question of people. I've been in contact with some of the people that attend the church or members of the church. And the question I'm asking is there been any cases of COVID traced to people at the church or transmission through the church? And nobody's aware of any. So last week when they all of a sudden they come out and they put up a double fence and then a third layer of fencing around the church, some church members contacted me and said, look, we went over to protest. We didn't try to tear down the fence. They said that we thought those were outsiders that came in to do that. You know, again, it was at least the lady that contacted me and gave me eyewitness testimony as to what was going on was that it was almost as if the police were encouraging people to tear it down so they could do something. There were 200 riot police there at the church. There was a helicopter air support.
Yeah.
It's just so strange that we live in this world. And then there's the constant beating of propaganda and the way the information is censored by our technology overlords.
Yeah.
It's troubling. I'll give you an example, and I don't think he'll mind me using my name. One of the speakers at this conference in Canada, which is a virtual conference, by the way, because I can't get to Canada. If I was Canadian, I don't even know if I could get to Canada or if I would want to go, given the restrictions that they have, where you have to have a negative test before you get on the plane. You have to be tested when you're there. You're put in these quarantine hotels, or really internment camps is what they sound like. And you have to be tested, and it's going to cost you a couple thousand dollars to do that. So we can't go. So Mike Gendron is one of the speakers, and I'd have to, you can go to his Facebook page, Proclaiming the Gospel is his ministry to Catholics. Very effective ministry, great guy. And he was, I think, on his way to Green Bay to speak at a conference. After he got there, he was informed, or when he got to the airport to come home, I'm not sure when it happened, he was informed by American Airlines, on which he is a 2 million mile double platinum member. I mean, this is like the dream airline customer. He was told, you can never fly American again because you violated our mask policy on the way up. And he's like, who said this? You gave me water and I had a couple sips. And that's the only time I moved my mask. And now he is banned for life from this airline.
Yeah, it's crazy.
This is insanity.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, these, so you have these little tyrants running around everywhere. And look, I used to travel, you know, hundreds of thousands of miles a year for business at times. And I personally, I had run-ins with, I had a flight attendant. I was like the second person on the plane. I was putting my bag in the overhead at the, you know, I had the exit row because I was, I think it was American. And now that I'm thinking about it, because I'm like, you know, I was like gold or platinum at the time. And I mean, she just teed off on me about, how am I going to get a bag that big up there and all this other stuff? I mean, it was brutal. And I went to the supervisor and said, you probably ought to put her in another part of the plane away from me. I mean, I just don't. And so now we're doing this on an industrial scale, these little tyrants that throw a hissy fit, and everything is done to just like beat you into submission.
That's what the bottom line is, basically, with everything that's going on. It's all about control. And I'm, like I say, people are just bowing down to it, bowing down to the beast, because really what is happening here is that is what is happening here. This is the beast system becoming more and more powerful, and it's happening because I think there's a delusion on a lot of people, and the people are just going, oh, well, you know, we can't fight it, we'll just do it. And they're just, everyone on a global scale is just bought into the propaganda that's been set up by the propaganda machine for a long time. And no one's really much questioning it, or the few people that are so censored by the media and everyone else and shouted down by people in the general public, calling you tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists and so on, when all the evidence is out there. And the fact that there's just a few companies controlled by a few individuals that control pretty much everything, including those airlines that you're talking about, it's like sometimes it's very hard to see, you know, where to from here, because I can see it dividing the body of Christ as well.
Yeah, well, and I'm sort of on I've now my training, which I guess I've been able to delay a little bit, my training from our technology overlords is now in process, at least on YouTube, because I received a notice like, this is your first free notice. And from now on, we start to block you from posting to YouTube for a week. And I've had a number of friends, Brandon Holdhouse at Rock Harbor Church in Bakersfield, his YouTube channel has been taken down. I think Tom Hughes at 412 Church has been banned and blocked a couple times. So what I was blocked for was, I got a notice that what I had said the Sunday after the Capitol riot or insurrection, whatever you want to call it, in January, I had talked about the election, and that violated their rules. And I'm like, I just said that there were people there protesting the election results that I was like a news reporter.
Yeah. Well, I'm just a couple of days away from my first strike running out, because they give you 90 days. But well, my first video strike was actually a show I did with you on that very subject. And they banned that show and gave me a suspension of a week. And then when that week was up, I posted another video, and within 2 hours that was taken down and given me another 2 week ban. But so three strikes, you're out. If you get three strikes right within 90 days on YouTube, they remove your channel entirely. So my first strike runs out in a couple of days, that show I did with you. And then the next one is a week later. But I've just resorted now to basically posting trailers on YouTube and sending the people everywhere else.
Yeah, I see a lot of people are doing that. And it's sort of like, what? Well, first of all, I don't even remember what I said, but I can't go back and look at the video because they put the video in, you know, like a box. Yeah. Like it's even walled off for me. So I can't even really go and challenge what I said. Now, I did challenge it, and I see that the warning doesn't appear on our channel now at Fellowship Bible Chapel. So maybe my appeal worked. And the other thing is, they never communicate with you. No. You can never talk to a real person. No. The whole thing is insane. And I don't understand the business model where you trash the views of half your audience.
Because they don't actually need it. Because, they, like I say, the same companies with the same stakeholders control everything, basically, and that's pretty easy to search and find out. And so they really don't need us. It's not really about money, it's about control, because it's these same people are setting up the beast system, really. And so they can afford to throw people out now because they don't really need us. They just want the control. It's all about control.
So, you know, in this, it goes down many levels. So I had mentioned to you an article that I saw today. I'd have to try to look it up, about the professor at Georgetown Law School. And let me while we're talking, I'll pull that up. And she's not even a Christian or anything, you know, she's Muslim, she's a leftist, she's a woman, and she put up an article last week, Lama Abu Odeh. And as I recall, she's a professor at Georgetown University Law School. So very bright lady. And she's like, she calls it Georgetown's cultural revolution. She said, this is what Mao did. This is happening at Georgetown University. And she goes, you can't say things. Professors are being forced to resign. Here's what the opening paragraph says. An adjunct professor at Georgetown University's Law Center was forced to resign because she was caught on video saying to her colleague and co-teacher, I hate to say this, I ended up having this, you know, angst every semester. A lot of my lower ones in my classes are blacks. It happens every semester. And it's like, come on, you know, get some really good ones. But there's usually some that are just plain at the bottom. It drives me crazy. Of course, there are good ones, but come on. And now, so because she stated what was a fact. And I went to law school 40 years ago, but over 40 years ago, you don't know whose exam you're grading. Everything's done by a number and it's blind. So there's no way people are getting downgraded because of their race. But there is an issue. And you can't state the obvious. Another article that I was reading today about, this comes from Los Angeles Magazine, how LA's Brentwood schools became a battleground in the culture wars. Another person who's been covering the same thing is Barry Weiss. And Barry's, like I said, Barry's no conservative. She's what I would call a classic liberal. She's living with, she's engaged to a woman, I believe. She was married to a guy for a while. She's now, but she's bright. She's intelligent. And she's been writing about this stuff going on in these elite schools where kids are just being browbeat with this intersectionality and racial identity stuff. Who is the former Fox newscaster, Megyn Kelly. She and her husband pulled their boys out of one of these elite schools in Manhattan. They're paying like $60,000 a year to send each kid to school. It's a ridiculous price. But they were talking about the five-year-old in kindergarten came home and said, you know, they were talking about what his racial identity was or his gender identity was. And she's like, if I'm going to shape the kid, I'm going to be the one to shape the kid. You teach him math and science and English. And, you know, do we have to create an activist when the kid's in kindergarten?
Yeah.
And so this is happening. And these elite schools are, Barry Weiss published a letter from a parent at, I think it was either a Manhattan or Los Angeles elite school. And then there's another article that she put up. And these people, they're pulling their kids out of school, but on the way out, they're being told you'll never have any friends again.
Mm.
It's happening on a, like I said, it's all this stuff is happening on an industrial scale. And people are just rolling right over for it. So yeah, I agree with you. Like I said, for this conference, you know, there's an acceleration and convergence of how these things, Bible prophecy things happen. They don't happen overnight. The foundations of what is, of how they're going to work out, the beast system, it's going to be in place for a while. It's just like some of the wars that are prophesied for the end times. They're not going to happen overnight. You got to get armies and aircraft and things into place. I mean, look how long it's taken Putin to build up for this, whatever he's doing there in Ukraine, bringing the world to the brink of thermonuclear war is really what's happening. I don't think we understand the seriousness of what's actually taking shape there. And then you have the constant, you know, battles between Israel and Iran and the sort of the low grade warfare, small attacks that, you know, are serious, but they know people won't retaliate with a big war machine in response, or they'll respond through proxies that they have. Everybody seems to prosecute these wars through proxies now. So anyway, it all seems to be happening so very quickly.
Well, the whole thing in the Ukraine, I mean, that is definitely something to be watching very closely. Whether it escalates into a full-scale war or not, I don't know, but it certainly has a potential to, with the amount of machinery and so on Russia's moved into the area.
Well, I've heard that Russia's now up to about 165,000 troops, and Crimea has sort of a mystical connection to Russia. It's viewed as the birthplace of the Russian Orthodox Church.
The thing is, unless the Ukraine had felt like they had the backing of Joe Biden and the rest of NATO, they wouldn't have probably made some of the statements and signed some of the bills they have recently, which I haven't got in front of me, so I don't want to say anything more about it. But it seemed like a declaration of war, really.
Well, and they did some other things too, because one of the things that's going on, my research kind of indicated this. Was that there's actually one of the aspects of the battle that's been going on is over water. There is a major canal that supplied the 2 million now 2.4 million since it's increased quite a bit. They've been moving Russians in there after Russia took it over back in 2014. So what Ukraine did was they cut off the water. There's a giant canal, and they set up sluice gates and closed them and cut off 90% of the water supply to the peninsula. And now they're in the midst of a drought. Their agriculture can't do anything. And so this is how wars start. There's these low grade conflicts, and then eventually they blossom into a major war. Mm-hmm. And we never know, like, we know these wars are coming.
Yeah.
But we don't know the exact trigger. Like World War One, who knew that the assassination of that crown prince in Sarajevo and his wife was going to be sort of the thing that kicked off World War? That was the catalyst, the trigger that cascaded into World War One. There's trenches set up in Ukraine and all this other stuff. So yeah, I think Ukraine must think they have the backing of people to do it. But you know, Russia's come down there loaded for bear. They've got over 10,000 tanks. They've moved into the area. They've set up camps, bases, and that type of thing. So I don't know where it's going to go. I just know that that's just one of a number of things. And then we have China making forays to Taiwan, flights over Taiwan, and that type of thing, and being very bold and open. And then they're sort of directly challenging the U.S. to do something.
Yes.
And to be honest with you, as an American, I see our military having stand down orders so they can have diversity and inclusion training and training on extremism.
Yeah.
Which always is only white supremacy. So certain groups burning our cities, the white supremacists have one riot. We have this kabuki theater going on in D.C. where they have these fences set up to keep everybody out, to make it look like they're under attack and under siege. And then there's riots. I mean, there's riots going on. I don't know if you follow Andy NGO on Twitter. It was so bad for him, he had to leave the country. But he's still reporting on it. And there's riots every night in Portland now. They're burning buildings and tearing things down and looting places every night.
Yeah.
And you don't even hear about it. I mean, it's just like there's you have to get your news from like Twitter or Rumble or Parler or whatever. And one of the problems with it is, you used to be able to find a lot of things on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. And now they've sort of made everybody scatter like, you know, cockroaches do when you shine the light on them. So now all the conservatives and Christians and that type of thing have had to scamper to other platforms. But they're all out there in these different platforms. There's no organization like there was before.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's hard. And these other platforms, they're just not as good.
No, they're not. And you don't get near the number of amount of traffic to them.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still hanging in there on Facebook and Twitter and YouTube. But, you know, I know my days are probably numbered, but I'm troubled. YouTube is like going back 3 or 4 months. I mean, what are they going to find in the internet? I mean,
yeah.
I suppose if they're really intent on getting rid of me, and I don't have that big of a, but if you're not towing the company line, you've got to be silenced. You've got to be silenced.
Well, that's what's happening in every which way, you know, every sort of area. Free speech is really being trampled on big time. A couple of hours ago, the announcement of a guilty verdict in the murder trial of the police officer was delivered. I don't know if you want to say anything a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's hard to remember. You know, sometimes I think of these things happening, and then I'm like, oh well, that was like 2 weeks ago, right? No, because so much has happened, and it was like, no, that was yesterday evening. So Maxine Waters came out, maybe it was 2 days ago, and said, we need to be more confrontational.
Yeah.
Well, now listen, when you're riding and tearing down 5 miles of a city, you know, five linear miles of buildings destroyed, and a congressperson who's made these incendiary comments comes to Brooklyn Center and says, we need to be more confrontational. What do you think she means if to happen, what she wants to happen if there's not a guilty verdict? Yet today I saw a journalist on, she was not promoting violence. That's a myth. And they're calling it a fact check. And it's like, no, fact check in your parlance means your opinion, because it's not based on any facts. So what's more confrontational when you're already tearing down a city? Yeah. I mean, it's just, it's ludicrous. So the verdict was guilty on all three counts, which I haven't looked at the jury instructions, but I'm pretty sure that the judge said that you bring a guilty verdict back on one of these charges. You don't have to do all three. They brought a guilty verdict back on all three because there was like non-intentional murder. There was intentional manslaughter, involuntary manslaughter. And they found him guilty on all three. And they're legally, those are inconsistent verdicts. So I'm sure there's going to be an appeal. The judge has already tipped the fact that he's already tipped off that the defense is going to raise what Maxine Waters said on appeal.
Yeah.
And it's possible there could be a mistrial. But listen, been a lawyer a long time. Judges at that level are political animals. Now, they may not run as a Republican or Democrat, but they run for office. They often have contested elections. And I'm just saying, is in the environment that's been created, and go look at the leftist Twitter feeds tonight. And I mean, do you think that now that they have this guilty verdict, they're going to back off on what they're doing? What they're saying, I just saw a bunch of them before we hooked up tonight. This is how we control things. If we hadn't torn down these cities and burned things and rioted, we would have never gotten a guilty verdict. And there may be some truth to that. Because, I mean, what are you going to do as a juror? In this environment, there's really no way to protect the anonymity of the jurors. And so if they had brought back a not guilty verdict, these people would have been attacked physically at home. They would have been doxxed. So I posted on my Facebook page, well, now the guilty verdict is in. I'm sure everything will be calm tonight. And then I went over and looked at some of the lefty Twitter feeds, and it's like, this hasn't calmed them down at all. In fact, it's emboldened them, because this is how we get what we want. We wanted to make an icon of Derek Chauvin, the police officer, and an icon of George Floyd. And we did it through riots, and that's what works, and that's what gets us done. So what's this do to society? You know, look, I want to live a peaceful life. I'm concerned about the direction that it's going. I don't think it's calmed down. What happened in Minnesota today with the guilty verdict has not, in my view, calmed anything down. Mm. And it's not, I mean, you know, when you talk about this, it's anything you say, you can be accused of being a racist. But how many we support the police riots will there be tonight?
No, there won't be any.
Right.
I mean, obviously, neither of us believe in white supremacy or any of that kind of thing.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's like, it's like you have to tread on eggshells just in case people construe it that way, unfortunately. Right.
Yeah, so I reject. I mean, those guys are idiots. They're stupid.
Yeah.
But we have the flip side is, a Capitol Hill police officer shot Ashley Babbitt in the face on January 6th. Nobody knows who did this. Nobody knows the name of the person who fired the shot.
Mm.
It seems a little bit inconsistent. She was an unarmed gal. So let's assume she's in a place she shouldn't have been. She's acting in a way that she should not have been acting.
Yeah.
But it was clear that she was unarmed, shot in the face and dead. And the Justice Department came out and said, no problem. The other thing that's happened, Tony, this bothers me. All these people who've been arrested in riots in Portland and Seattle, my understanding is there's a federal DOJ task force that's looking at these things, and they have dropped all the charges against these people or entered into non-prosecution agreements, meaning that, we're not going to prosecute you for burning down this building if you meet certain conditions. These, I would only term them to be sweetheart non-prosecution deals. They are non-prosecution deals on an order of magnitude that I have never seen before. And I've done a little bit of criminal work in my career. They're tearing down the system. And a lot of these prosecutors, now that's at the federal level and the DOJ. And we're 100 days into Joe Biden being president, or somebody being president there in D.C. As I call it, the O'Biden administration, yeah. Obama's third term.
Mm.
And I don't want to rant because I mean, look, I don't think the political system is going to save us. Jesus saves us and Jesus is going to come back and make everything right eventually. But until then, we have a very turbulent time coming. And I think it's here.
Yeah, it's only going to increase. So what do we do? I mean, as Christians, what should be our position, our strategy, our life direction at the moment?
Well, I know there's a lot of controversy in the Christian community about that. So I see Grace Life. I see the comments that people are making that are Christians that go to other churches that would be theologically similar to Grace Life. And like, this guy just needs to comply. If he would just follow the rules, there would be no problem.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question is, the pastor who, and I think it was in Calgary actually, who, told the police to get out of his church, go away, you Nazis. He's a immigrant from the old Soviet bloc, one of the Soviet bloc companies. And people are upset with that. And I get that. Okay. He's not acting in a very nice way. But the question I have is, I'd highly recommend that you go to the Yad Vashem YouTube channel. That's the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem. And watch, they did five or six Holocaust survivors. And these people, they're getting old. They're in their late 80s, 90s, and that type of thing. So they're not going to be around that often. So Yad Vashem is documenting their stories. And these videos, you see them all through the museum, are very, very powerful. So my question was, yeah, I understand the criticism of the pastor in Calgary, but when was it okay to say that the Nazis were, acting like Nazis? I mean, when was that line crossed? Yeah. I mean, do you wait until they're hauling people away in cattle cars to kill them and execute them before you call them a tyrant?
Yeah.
So my conclusion, Tony, is I know there's a principle in Acts, where they say when Paul's having a confrontation with the authorities, we ought to obey God rather than men. So I think that each Christian has to, within the confines of their own conscience, has to make that decision. But I also think that we need to do that. If you decide not to confront it, I think you need to be gracious towards those that decide to. knowing that the people that confront it know that ultimately this thing's going to come to a head, but we just don't know when. But there's also people and children and families to protect. Look, after 9/11, I was flying 300,000 miles domestically a year. I was on planes coast to coast every week. And I can remember sitting next to people, but usually back in those days, I was getting upgraded to first class, praise the Lord. So it wasn't so uncomfortable being as I often say, I'm a 2X guy in a 1X world. So airplanes are not necessarily the most comfortable thing for me. First class, though, I can deal with. And so I was getting all these upgrades. But I sat there, you know, so you're on a plane with 165 people. What do you do, you know, after knowing what happened on 9/11? Or, you know, what do you do if somebody tries to hijack the plane? Do you kill them? And I've mentioned that, and I've had people, Christians, say, well, you're sending that person to an eternity in hell. Like, there are 164 other people on the plane, too, that are going to go to hell if this guy gets the plane and flies it into a building. So what's the right thing to do? So my conclusion is that we have some leeway to act in those situations, and everybody needs to make an informed decision. And sometimes it's not going to be something you can do after a lot of prayer, because you're going to have to decide right on the spot. And so we need to be gracious towards others that maybe will confront the issue and deal with it differently than we do. I'm very concerned that I see these issues becoming very, very divisive in the body of Christ. And if that's the goal, a part of this, then kudos to the people that are doing it, because it's being very effective, in my opinion. I don't really like it. I don't know if I'm making sense, but I'm concerned about it, because every time something comes up, I mean, like I said, on Grace Life Church, I've talked about it a few times, and you should see my email. I have people, praise the Lord for Pastor Coates and standing up to the tyranny in Alberta. And then others saying, man, if you just followed the rules, it would go much better and we wouldn't have this problem and they'd still be meeting as a church. But I don't think that's necessarily true. I was reading Irish Examiner or Irish Times today, and they have a new rule coming out in Ireland. The Catholic archbishops are very upset about it, that this is effectively going to stop church meetings. Now, they say, well, it's not directed towards churches. But you really know that that's where it's going to be enforced. And that's Ireland. So this is happening everywhere, and it seems to be happening all at once. It's a concerning time to be alive, but it's an exciting time to be alive too, because we know Jesus is coming. And I think these situations in the world give us the opportunity to talk about the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I mean, people are talking about it. You know, for example, on the vaccine thing, everywhere I go, that's all people want to talk about. Have you had the jab? Did you get the jab? Are you getting the jab? If you had the jab, what's it like? What happened with when you got the jab? And that's all people are talking about. But just to wrap up, back to the George Floyd thing, I don't go into the office that much. It's because it's just so disconcerting to go downtown Columbus. I mean, my office looks right down on the state capitol, and there's nobody there. Yeah. There's nobody in the park. I mean, we're in a 40-story office building, and I'll bet there are six layers, 75 cars in the parking garage. When, you know, it's not even 15 or 20% full.
Yeah.
And this is a year after this thing started.
Yeah.
And then today we got a memo saying the office is closing early because the George Floyd verdict in Minneapolis, you know, 900 miles away or 1,000 miles away is going to come down. So they're expecting trouble at the state capitol. And we had our police shot and killed a young black guy that they had taken to the hospital, and he had a weapon and started resisting arrest, and he got shot. I saw an article in The Atlantic yesterday, like, don't tell compliance with police officer orders is not the answer to this thing. But I'm pretty sure that when people aren't resisting arrest, they're not getting shot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why does this never enter into the equation? And these things have to be made in split second timing. You don't know if the person has a weapon.
Yeah.
And so, the shooting in Brooklyn Center where she grabbed her gun instead of her taser.
Yeah.
I think she made I know a taser doesn't weigh as much as a handgun, but when the adrenaline is flowing, you're probably not going to notice the difference. That's my opinion. And she's done. Her career is ruined. She's already been charged. Goodness gracious, she was charged in a day and a half. you'll be caught coming out of the bank and you don't get indicted with the money in your hand from robbing a bank and you don't get indicted in a day and a half. So here, 1,000 miles away from where the verdict is coming down, our office is closing early. The question is, do we have a regular day tomorrow or not? We're not going to have a regular day, by the way. It's the end of April, and we're having 1 to 4 inches of snow tonight.
Mm.
So I hope the weatherman is wrong.
Yeah.
We have this, it's supposed to be like, 22 degrees or something in snow.
Yeah.
And it's April for crying out. The flowers are blooming.
Mm.
So I'm like, where's the global warming? I like global warming. I can get earlier tea times when it's when it's warmer out. But
yeah.
Look, Tony, we live in it's a crazy world.
Yeah.
I talk about these things. I know they're largely negative, but Bible prophecy, just like at the time that Jesus at his first coming, all those prophecies about his first coming, they were fulfilled in a real world. A real world with Pharisees and Sadducees and zealots and Romans and the Sanhedrin and the temple and Herod and all that stuff was in place for the prophecies to be fulfilled. Well, all the stuff is going to be in place for the other prophecies to be fulfilled. And a lot of it is from a human perspective, kind of negative, the mark of the beast. And the aspects of that, and the beast system, and wars, and rumors of wars, and earthquakes, just the way it is. So, look, we ought to be like the disciples when Jesus was teaching them in parables. He talked about some prophecies from Isaiah. And he goes, listen, guys, you're here, the prophets, you should consider yourselves blessed, because the prophets and holy men, of old, long for the day that you're living in. And I would say that we ought to have the same attitude. We ought to consider ourselves blessed to live at this time and to have a book or books of the Bible that give us at least a bit of a roadmap to what's going to unfold. So let me close with this. I use this a lot in some of my talks. Remember the tsunami that took place in Thailand and Sumatra, or over there in the Indian Ocean, must have been 2004, 2003, 2005. And I have a picture, I have a video that I use a lot in some of my talks. I think I'm going to use it in Canada actually. And the earthquake and tsunami killed almost 300,000 people in Indonesia, and then the tsunami raced across the Indian Ocean, over 1,000 miles. And what happened, though, before it hit the shore, the water in the bay drained out. So the people out there walking around in the bay, the ships are sitting on the ground, and they can see the coral reefs and everything. Oh, look, isn't that pretty and all that stuff. And then people start to see this white cap across the horizon. And they're going, what is that? Is that what the earthquake caused? Is that a tsunami? Oh, no, no, that's not a tsunami. And then all of a sudden they realize tsunami. And it's interesting, all the locals in the video, they're running for the hill. The tourists are out there, boy, isn't this nice and neat? Isn't this pretty cool? And there's one guy standing out there all by himself. And you know he's dead. You know he had his ushering into eternity right then. Because that's such a great picture of the end times, that there's this tsunami of God's judgment coming. So what do we do? That's in the video, you can hear the people saying, we need to warn them. We need to warn them. Well, we need to warn them because we can see it coming. And it's already, I think, lapping at our ankles. That's my view. And I think we need to. Now, there's a friend of mine. He has the concept. You can look it up. I won't give you his name, but he uses a thing. He calls it apocalyptic evangelism. And I think that's right, that as we see this time coming when Jesus is going to come back and set up his kingdom, we need to emphasize those things as part of the gospel presentation. Warn people. That's what we're supposed to do. So I'm actually encouraged. I'm troubled by what I see, but I don't feel restless. I'm sure if people were knocking on my door trying to tear down my house or something, I would have a different opinion. But I can see what's going on, but I have a sense of calm about it. I don't know. But I'm certainly not happy with the way things are going, but I know that God will use it to his glory ultimately.
Yep, that's true, John. It is definitely a tough time, and for many people in many ways, but yeah, we have to just keep our eyes on the eternal goal and have our eyes on the Lord, and I guess keep on reading his word and spending time in prayer, which I'm sure all of us could do better. I know I could.
When were you here at our house? That was like 6 months ago, October?
It was October, yeah. Yeah.
So 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think we were sort of talking like, well, I hope this can't go on much longer, right? All this lockdowns and travel restrictions and all, it hadn't gone away.
No.
You know, as we said, I said earlier, 2 months to flatten the curve didn't really turn out to be much of a prophecy.
No.
And it's only gotten worse. And now, of course, we won't talk about it because I know you talked about it with Bill Randles last week or so on the COVID passports. I mean, this is one of the, I don't know if you've seen some of the videos of Naomi Wolf talking about this. She's sort of been out there sounding the alarm, and she's no conservative by any stretch of the imagination, but she's right. This is the social credit score being wrapped up into this thing. And once it's instituted, when she says that to get to a fascist state, there are 10 stages. This is stage 10. This is the last stage. And it's like 10 days ago they started, when she started talking about it, like 2 weeks ago, I started talking about this thing. And it's concerning. So that's probably the thing that bothers me the most.
Yeah.
Because I like to travel.
Yeah, it's a big issue, all right, but I guess we haven't really got the time to get into it because we're getting pretty
well,
long.
Well, you covered it well with Bill last week.
I'll probably be covering it more again.
Yeah,
it won't be the last time.
I'm sure it's not going to be so anyway. But look, I think there's hope in what we see going on. It may not be easy to see, but we need to understand how this all wraps up eventually. And it may be soon. I mean, I don't know. I may not live to see the end. I mean, I'm 67, so who knows? All I can say is I know the world's different than it was a year ago. A lot different.
Totally.
And I don't think it's going back.
No, it isn't. No, that's for sure. Well, we better look to wrap up anyway, yeah. John. I want to just say thank you for being on the Minute to Midnight show again.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yes, and no doubt we'll do it again soon. So, yeah, enjoy your rest of your evening, and thanks again.
Yeah, give my best to Holly.
Will do. Care. Yeah, and same for you to Pam as well.
Okay.
Cheers. Folks, remember, we can't put our main videos on YouTube. We're just putting trailers on there. So go to aminutetomidnight.com to watch the full video, or our Rumble channel, or our BitChute channel. And, of course, you can also listen to it audio only on our iTunes channel. aminutetomidnight.com, our website, though, is where we really want you to go. Make sure that you are subscribed to our blog there so you always receive notification of our new videos and articles and so forth. We do run A Minute to Midnight 100% by donations, and if you want to donate, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. We always greatly appreciate it when people do help us out so we can keep this running. It's the only way we can keep it running. So thanks to folks that help us, and if you want to join them, you can do that at aminutetomidnight.com. The music used in the shows I've written, played, and recorded, and if you want to download the free music, you can do that at the website as well. So that's it for this show, folks. God willing, we'll be back with another video in a few days' time.